This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Associate Professor of Medicine at NYIT's College of Osteopathic Medicine at Arkansas State University, Dr. Darren Summer, was honored with the 2019 Innovation Hero Award. He won the award for the work that he has done to integrate telemedicine technology into the healthcare experience. He also developed a curriculum at NYIT at Arkansas State to teach students telemedicine. I talked to Dr. Summer through telemedicine as he joined me from Ohio, and I recorded the interview from NYIT at the A-State campus in Jonesboro. He tells what telemedicine is. You received the 2019 Innovation Hero Award through Arkansas Business. Kind of tell us about your thoughts on receiving that award and what you won the award for, if you don't mind, please.
It was the Innovation Hero of the Year Award through Arkansas Business, and it was awarded last week. It was very nice to actually be considered as a nominee for the award. I did not have an expectation to actually win. So when I did win, it was, I think, even more surprising than I thought it was going to be. I had some very good company who was nominated. So I feel blessed to have been considered with the other physicians who were also nominated. And for me, it's a very special moment, but it's also, I think, recognition for a lot of people who put a lot of time and energy into advancing the field of telemedicine.
Now, as you're joining me here, you're actually on a big screen and you're in Ohio. I'm here at NYIT College of Osteopathic Medicine at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. I know you received the award for the creation and innovation of the telemedicine curriculum that you developed at here at Arkansas State at NYIT. So I wanted to, before we talk about the curriculum and that, tell us a little bit about telemedicine and tell us what it is, if you don't mind, please.
Sure. Telemedicine is the use of technology to expand access to care for patients in the communities where they live.
Okay. And I know there are two terms that are used. One is telemedicine, the other is telehealth. What are the difference between those two terms?
Sure. Probably the easiest way to think about telemedicine is imagine if you went to a visit at your family practice doctor, you walked in the room, you talked with a physician, they did an examination, they told you what might be wrong and how to treat it. If that was done through a digital medium, that would be considered telemedicine. Take all of the other things that are encompassed through healthcare, such as a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or a heart rate monitor, home blood pressure cuff, all the other devices that involve electronics that are not directly related to patient care, those things would be considered more in the aspect of telehealth.
And I know that these things have really taken off by way of it. You see everyone that has like a Fitbit or some sort of a health monitor and that. Why do you think that these forms of telehealth are so popular today?
I think patients and people in general have an interest in their health and well-being, and to do things that can help them stay healthier and live longer. So when these devices are both aesthetically pleasing and convenient to use, there's a higher likelihood that they're going to integrate those into their life and lifestyle and try to take advantage of some of the information that they're getting from these devices.
Dr. Summer, by way of telemedicine, how is telemedicine used specifically, please?
So telemedicine is a very big term, and we use it to encompass a lot of different things, and it's not any one specific thing for any one particular purpose, but it's typically being used to expand access to care for underserved communities, and that doesn't mean necessarily just rural. There's a lot of urban areas that are defined as what we would call a medical desert, and so telemedicine would be used to improve access to care. So a patient who's in an emergency room having a stroke might talk to a teleneurologist to help the ER doctor manage the stroke. A patient at home who has end-stage cancer might be using telemedicine to talk with a hospice pharmacist. A soldier on the battlefield might receive telemedicine consultation from a physician in another part of the world. So telemedicine is being used in vastly different ways for multiple different purposes.
It sounds like there are some advantages for using this technology. Is that correct?
I think so. If we look at just the traditional way of delivering healthcare, where the patient goes to the practitioner, it really limits our capacity to access healthcare services. But if we can bring healthcare to the community, if we can bring healthcare to the patient, regardless of where they are in the world, then this changes our accessibility to healthcare services. And that's really the beauty of telemedicine. And despite the advantages that it has, and despite all of the wonderful technologies we have for telemedicine, it's still very underutilized.
Well, because you know we're not sitting in the same room right now. If I have a medical condition, are there disadvantages or limitations because instead of you actually being here one on one, you're sitting, you know, you're in Ohio talking to me. Can that be a limitation in some way and some form of concern?
There's limitations in everything we do in healthcare, right? So let's use radiology as an example. If I take an X-ray of, let's say, your chest or your arm, I have limited information. The X-ray is appropriate for certain conditions and certain diseases and certain complaints, but a CAT scan may be better, or an MRI may be better, or other imaging modalities may be better. Telemedicine is the exact same thing. It's not the tool bag, it's the tool in the tool bag. And so there may be times where telemedicine is appropriate and ideal, and there may be times when it's not. The question is when a patient has no access to healthcare services versus the use of telemedicine, telemedicine has a huge advantage. If you're in a urban area and there's tons of healthcare resources around you, telemedicine may not serve the same purpose. But there are many ways to have a telemedicine examination or a telemedicine interaction to be as robust, or in some cases even better than a traditional exam, depending on how it's put together.
Dr. Darren Summer joining us here on A-State Connections here on KASU. Give us an example of what a doctor's visit would be like through telemedicine, if you don't mind, please.
So it depends on the environment, but let's just assume that we're sitting in some type of an examination room, whether it's a family practice office or an emergency room, and you're there with a particular complaint and I'm on a screen talking to you. It's really no different than if you and I are sitting in the same room together. I'm asking you questions about your health and well-being and your history. You're giving me information. And that we can easily do in the same way we're talking right now. Let's skip over the examination portion and talk about the assessment and plan. The assessment and the plan is an identification of what I think is wrong with you and how we're going to treat it. That is conversational as well. So the objective portion of the exam, which is the vital signs and the examination, are really the parts of the telemedicine where it starts to become a little bit tricky. But typically today, most vital signs are being provided by the nurse at the bedside prior to the physician even walking in the room. So those are given to me as I do the examination. And then when we look at the components of the exam, it's typically listening, it's visualizing, and it's touching. From the listening perspective, I can use a digital stethoscope and I can hear heart sounds and lung sounds as well from 1,000 miles away as I could in the same room. I can take those sounds, I can record them, I can save them, I can share them. So I can do things through my digital stethoscope I cannot do in person. From a visualization perspective, I've got digital instruments. So I could look inside of your ear with a scope on a wall and see your eardrum about the size of the end of my finger. I can use a digital camera to see it, and I can see your eardrum the size of a basketball. So I submit that digital instruments are even better in some ways for visualizing certain things. The last part is the palpation. That's where we rely on a nurse at the bedside to help us to do the examination. So if I need to push on a belly or pull on a knee, the nurse helps me to do those things and I observe the results. Based on all of that information, I can do about 90% of my typical practice through the use of telemedicine.
And how do you think that this has been, what's been the reaction to patients for telemedicine? I mean, how are they adopting this technology?
The patients I work with love it. And mostly because we really think about the value proposition for the patient prior to setting up the service. So when you have a patient who has a limitation on access to care, and you answer that by providing them a modality that is more convenient and still provides a personal connection, they truly appreciate the fact that they have the access to care in their community. And most patients want to receive healthcare locally. They don't want to have to get in the car and drive an hour and a half, spend 10 or 15 minutes with their physician. So the response has been excellent, and we're very, very happy with the way patients are accepting the technology and the interactions with their providers on it.
Now, Dr. Shane Spites is the dean of the college here at the NYIT's College of Osteopathic Medicine at Arkansas State. And he said in a press release that the curriculum is one of the first of its kind to be offered across the country. So it does sound like something like this is starting to take off. How did you develop this specific curriculum that's being taught here at NYIT?
Well, Dr. Spites is a visionary, and he sees the future and the need to implement technology into healthcare services. And so he's been very supportive of the work we've been doing together and encouraged me to come work with them and to provide this curriculum. And we looked at the technology marketplace as it relates to healthcare and telemedicine services. And there was a study done by the American Academy of Family Practitioners that asked about 1,500 doctors, do you believe in the use of telemedicine? And overwhelmingly, they said yes. And they said, well, how many of you are practicing telemedicine? And less than 20% said they were practicing. So they said, well, if you believe in it so strongly, then why aren't you using it? And the number one reason was a lack of education and understanding of how to implement telemedicine into the practice. So at what point in a physician's career is the right time to introduce telemedicine? Is it when they've been practicing for 10 or 15 years? Is it when they're right out of residency, maybe during residency? And we feel the best time is to integrate the telemedicine education and training with the traditional education, the training on examination. So when they go in to learn how to do a cardiovascular exam traditionally, they can then go and learn how to do a cardiovascular exam through the use of telemedicine. And so we provide lectures and labs to help them to integrate that into their practice.
It sounds like it could be a possible game changer. Would that be an understatement or overstatement to say that maybe use the word game changer by way of the future of healthcare?
Well, we know we're short on physicians across the United States, and the numbers vary anywhere from maybe 25,000 to 100,000 short. And we also know that even if we could increase the number of physicians, the likelihood of having those physicians equally distributed across the country is unrealistic. And so we're going to have to figure out ways to bring healthcare services to communities. And so if we can get physicians to be comfortable early on in the use of telemedicine, this can be a game changer. So a physician who graduates from the residency, let's say today, may not know how to integrate telemedicine into their normal practice, but somebody who graduates 5 years from now may have an understanding and may have 80% of their practice traditional brick and mortar and 20% virtual, so that they can expand access to care for these patients.
And what are the students' reactions here as they're working through the telemedicine and the curriculum and that? What's been, as you've observed it, what's been their reaction to this?
I think it varies with a lot of things that students are learning in medical school. Some embrace it, love it, want to learn more about it. We offer a certificate program. So if they want to advance their knowledge and career, they can do that in their third and fourth year and actually earn a certificate of graduation. And some students are focused on other aspects of medicine and don't feel that telemedicine is going to be as an important part of what they're doing. But what medical students don't know right now is what they don't know. And it's our job as professors to help them to get a broad understanding. And so even if the students don't practice telemedicine when they leave, at least they understand the capabilities that telemedicine has and the value that it plays in healthcare, so that they're more accepting of its use and the results that they're getting from those examinations.
Very good. So you said you use labs and lecture along with this. Are there other things that you use when you're teaching students here, in teaching them through this telemedicine curriculum? Are there other aspects that you're using?
So they have a research project for those students that want to go on to get their certificate. And so they actually have to do some type of research in the field of telemedicine. It may be a study, it may be the advancement of a telemedicine program. We try to leave it open for what their interest is. You have to do a capstone project. So there are additional requirements for the certification. And within the labs, there's a lot of hands-on use of telemedicine equipment. There are labs that integrate the clinical side of what they're doing. And a lot about telemedicine is not, how do I turn the system on or how do I use a digital stethoscope? It's about how do I communicate with a patient, right? If I have a nurse in the room and I have a patient in the room and I spend all of my time talking to the nurse, telling the nurse what I need to have done, the patient feels disengaged from the process. So what I teach them is how to talk to the nurse through the patient. Mr. Jones, my nurse Betty is going to help me take a listen to your heart and lungs. Then the nurse knows, okay, it's time to put the stethoscope on the chest. And so these are the types of things we work through in the lab so that they become more comfortable with how to communicate with patients through technology.
And it's all about still keeping that relationship between the doctor and the patient still, because I think there may be some of those concerns. I know patients, you say, love it. There might be some that say, well, it kind of takes maybe the relationship that they enjoy maybe with their favorite doctor out of the equation, I guess. And that might, hopefully that helps in that regard, I guess.
Well, that's the whole reason I focused on designing technology that allowed the relationship to be maintained, where you and I can sit and have a conversation in my life-size form with eye contact and in a 3D effect. And so I, you know, if you wanted to get in the car and drive an hour and spend 15 to 20 minutes with your doctor, that's available for you and you can do that. But for many patients, that's not available. And so how do we give the best experience to our patients in the most convenient way? And that's why I go back to the term of value propositions and why they're so important. It's really a matter of figuring out, you know, what makes the patient happy and how you can address that. And so we feel like we're just one part of the whole healthcare spectrum that just improves the access and improves the quality of health for these different communities.
And that's Dr. Darren Semmer talking about telemedicine and teaching medical students how to use telemedicine to help patients. For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves.